Hey, this is Rick Casals from ExercisesForInjuries.com. Today I have another interview for you, and it's kind of on the topic of corrective exercise and performance. And I have a strength coach that has really a neat story, and you've seen him and read his stuff on ExercisesForInjuries.com, and it was how he had an injury and how he kind of found corrective exercise and how it helped him kind of get back to lifting heavy weights. So, Nick, I'll get you to introduce yourself to the listeners.
Okay. My name is Nick Rosencutter. I am a strength and conditioning coach as well as a manual therapist. I train all different kinds of clients, everything from various athletes to fat loss to pain syndromes, so back pain, knee pain, stuff like that. I've been involved in powerlifting, bodybuilding, intense training one way or another, probably since I was about 14 years old. Love everything about the body and its performance. I try to learn as much as I can about it every single day. I'm pretty much intrigued by how much there always is to learn about things, and I basically just love helping people better themselves, whether that's on the field, getting out of pain that they've had for a while, or just improving their attitude in general. I love being able to combine the training that I do along with effective soft tissue work. I think hitting it from both spectrums is very, very effective to help people take themselves to the next level. I went to school at UW La Crosse. I got a degree in exercise and sports science and strength and conditioning. Awesome program out there, a lot of good people to learn from. I interned out at IFAS with Mike Robertson and Bill Hartman. And when I was there, it was kind of where I first got turned on to a lot of the corrective and therapeutic type exercise modalities. Those guys are both geniuses. I had a meet that that previous fall before I started my internship there, and I was closing in on my first 600-pound deadlift and didn't quite get there. And if you watch my video, you could see some shift in my hips. And, Mike and Bill checked me out. I had some imbalances between glutes and some oblique muscles and stuff like that. And basically it was holding me back. And I had been training too hard for too long, didn't take time off when I should have, and ended up getting a tear in my left quadratus lumborum muscle. So basically, the injury at the time, though, was kind of upsetting. It kind of made me take a step back and, ask, well, what is holding me back? What caused this? So basically, I've taken the last couple years off from competition, but I have been bringing up weak points and getting stronger in ways that I hadn't necessarily been before. And now this past year, I've been back into heavier training again and actually stronger than I've ever been, even post-injury. And it's really pretty cool how something like that can really help you better yourself even when you think it might be holding you down. And I went to massage therapy school last year for a year part-time so I could get into the tissue stuff. As I said, I realized kind of the effectiveness of soft tissue therapy and how it can help get people out of pain and help kind of assist with the movement stuff you're doing within your training program. So I love doing that stuff as well now, too, and there's a ton more to learn with that. I've taken some ART courses and stuff like that. And, a lot of awesome stuff out there, and I love every minute of it.
Okay. And then, so before you ran into, Bill and Mike, I mean, what were you doing when it came to your lifting schedule or your training when it came to, like, recovery or corrective exercise stuff?
Yep. Well, recovery, I had been into some of the self-massage type stuff, so foam rolling and stuff like that for, probably a couple of years before that. It's something I definitely lacked in for years ahead of time, going through getting into lifting and stuff in high school, you kind of make all the mistakes in the book and read all the big muscle mags and learn from the guys at the gym you're at and all that. So, I did some good things, I think, along the way, when I was younger and, made probably every mistake in the book as well. And I think everyone should go through that so you can get the full experience and learn why you did what you were doing before might have not been the best deal and what you need to do to get better. So I had definitely lacked on a lot of the corrective stuff for a while. I mean, I did, bodybuilding style workouts for a while, before I really understood all the anatomy, you know, in high school and stuff like that. You know, about halfway through college, I really started getting into more of the, prehab type stuff, learning from some of my mentors around in college. And actually, I had started to throw in some, like, offset step-up type exercises to fix my hip shift, some glute work and some low trap work, stuff like that. Before I got to IFAS, though, I hadn't really dug into the corrective stuff too much. So really, I had a lot of, you know, intense cycles leading into meets, and I probably didn't do the recovery work I should have. I mean, I never even had, like, a massage treatment probably for, 8-9 years of hard training. So that's definitely a mistake looking back. Ever since this has all happened, you know, I definitely stay on top of getting massage treatments and chiropractic adjustments and stuff like that as often as I can, because it's very important to, you know, keep yourself healthy and help yourself recover from training, especially if you're going hard. Nowadays I couldn't imagine not having access or time to do some of these recovery, you know, modalities within my training, because, you know, it just beats you up if you're training hard, whether that's for powerlifting or, you know, or a sport or whatever it may be. It's just so important, and it's helped me recover from my injury, and it helps all my clients with their problems too. So definitely lacked on it for a while, and definitely never going to lack on it again.
And then how would you end up defining, what would your definition be of corrective exercise?
Well, it's a good question. You know, to me, corrective exercise can really be anything depending on how you view it. So, you know, can it be, you know, someone doing a clamshell for their left glute medius if they have a problem there? Yeah. But to me, it can, you know, if someone has a hip shift when they do a bilateral squat, then to me, doing, you know, some single-leg squat progressions and some half-kneeling stability exercises are going to be corrective exercise. Because if you're doing, you know, intense, heavy enough single-leg exercises, you know, in reality, you're really fixing that imbalance you have between sides, whether you're talking about the strength or the movement. And in essence, that's going to be corrective for when you do go back to your bilateral squat. You know, it's going to correct things. So, you know, I think a lot of people tend to, when they hear corrective exercise, they tend to think like little small isolated movements, you know, just foam rolling and clamshells and external rotations and stuff like that, which is all awesome too. But really, you know, I mean, even a bilateral squat to me could be corrective. If someone, you know, has pelvic tuck and they're rounding their low back in the bottom of a squat, and you have them squat to a box above the height that they do that until they can go lower without tucking, you know, that's really corrective too to me. So, you know, I think really it depends on how you look at it, and depends on the individual and what you need to do with them.
Okay. And, you know, some people, you kind of touched on it. So, I mean, you know, prior to, you know, your injury, you hadn't done much recovery in the corrective exercise thing. Then you kind of met up with Bill and Mike, and they kind of introduced you to kind of the importance of adding recovery and corrective exercise into your program. But some people would still say, you know, this corrective exercise thing is kind of a waste of time. Like, what would you end up saying to them when it comes to, well, you know, it is worth your time to invest in, you know, doing these exercises in order to help you address muscle imbalances, improve your movement, make sure that you end up having real good, like, joint stability?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say, you know, if you're going to take the time to train, which obviously if someone has this problem, they are, why not make yourself as effective and as healthy as possible? Because if you're let's use powerlifting as an example, since that's what I do here, it's easy to use. You know, if you're training heavy all the time, and you're going to have wear and tear on your body, plain and simple. So if you want to do it for a solid length of time, you know, you're going to have to use some of these recovery modalities, or it's really not a matter of if, it's a matter of when you're going to get hurt, and then you ain't going to be doing anything, period. So really, you have to use this stuff if you want to stay healthy and be able to do it. And if you look at it from a strength or a power standpoint, whether you're talking about an Olympic lift, a power lift, a vertical jump, whatever it may be, you know, if you do have something like a hip shift or, you know, an imbalance between each side of your lateral trunk musculature, or, you know, one glute's not firing as well as the other, you're holding yourself back from hitting the numbers you want to hit whether that's, like I said, like, you know, trying to hit a better jump, trying to run faster, trying to squat more, whatever it may be, if you have an imbalance, you're only using, you know, half the strength you could be on one leg and maybe four on the other leg, you're holding yourself back, plain and simple. So, you know, I would say to them, if you're doing this and you're serious about it, then, you know, why would you not want to take the time to do everything you can to be the best you can be? And, you know, it's pretty straightforward, you know, that utilizing the proper corrective stuff to fix any imbalances that you do have is going to increase your performance. Like, you know, I stayed away from bilateral squatting and pulling for probably, you know, a year and a half at least in the heavy range. And what I did was I did heavy cycles of single leg work. So, you know, anything from like barbell lunge variations to step ups, one leg squats, all kind of stuff like that. And I can tell you, I added probably about 100 pounds of those lifts. And when I came back to the bilateral stuff this past year, I was hitting records right off the bat without ever even doing it for over a year. So, plain and simple, if you want to be the best at what you're doing, you need to take the time to do this stuff, and you need to find someone who can help you analyze your body and figure out what you need to do. It's hard to do by yourself as well, so that's another thing.
Good point. And then where do you, in a client's program, in your program, where do you end up putting the corrective exercise within the program?
Mm-hmm. It's really always going to depend on the person and individual at hand. Generally, if it's, a client who wants to get just in general shape and, get rid of back pain, for example, you know, we'll analyze their movement. If they have, just poor movement patterns and they have poor glute function, poor abdominal stability, for example, you know, that whole first couple months is going to be corrective in nature because we're going to teach them how to move the right way, how to get their squat pattern down, how to get their hip hinge down, pushing and pulling and rotation down, teach them how to stabilize right. So really we're kind of setting that mold for everything they're going to do after that. But even within that first phase, you know, like I said, some of those, you know, corrective exercises in nature, you know, whether that's like a reverse lunge or split squat or a half-kneeling hold or something like that, I mean, it's hard stuff, so it's going to help people get in shape at the same time. If you're looking at the performance side of things with an athlete, even if we're doing, say we're doing like a max strength cycle, and we have their you know, heavy clean variation, heavy squat, heavy pull, whatever it may be, we'll do their three or four big bang exercises, and then we'll throw some prehab corrective type stuff in towards the end of the workout. So, you know, we might have a squat variation and a pull variation, some single leg stuff, some abdominal work, and then at the end, you know, we might have some specific hip exercises for glute medius maybe. So maybe we do some side leg raises on the wall. Maybe we have some bird dog variations to increase their spinal stability. Maybe we do some cuff exercises or some scap exercises, such as an ITY, to make sure their scap's moving effectively. So if it's something like that, you know, you get your big bang stuff in first, and then either after that stuff you get your corrective work in, or even in the warm-up you might want to get some glute or low trap activation, something like that. And then even on off days, recovery modalities, so you get your soft tissue work in, your mobility drills. You get, if someone has, you know, real weak low traps or a real weak glute on one side, you're probably going to want to throw some extra work in, even on off day, even if it's a couple sets, it's going to help bring things up to speed a lot faster. So there's always room to throw it in, and it always is going to depend on the person though at hand and what level they're at and what exactly you need to fix with them.
Okay. And then for yourself, where do you end up putting the corrective exercise, you know, stuff within your program?
Yep. Well, now you know, I've been feeling pretty good for a while now. I will generally do my, you know, intense lifting firsthand, and then towards the end of the workout, I'll throw in. So, like today, for example, I did my my main push and pull exercises for upper body, and then towards the end, I did some scap work with some like low trap raises, like ITY type stuff, and did some cuff work at the end, for example. As far as the keeping that single leg stuff in there, I like to have a good blend of both unilateral and bilateral movements. I think it's very important to do both, because if all you do is bilateral, you know, you're gonna run into a problem somewhere. If all you do is unilateral, you're not going to get that that nervous system benefit from lifting as heavy as you can. So I'll have, generally if I'm in an intense cycle, I'll do, like on a Wednesday, I'll have my I generally do like some speed work, and then I'll do a heavy single leg variation. Then on Saturday, I'll have my like max effort squat or pull variation. And then after I do my main movements, I'll do prehab type stuff at the end again. So I'll do specific exercises for glutes, glute med. I do a lot of oblique work still. I'll do like suitcase holds, offset carries, half-leaning chops, those kind of exercises to help keep things ironing out. So, you know, you can always find space to put it in. It's always a good way to finish out your workout, too. So.
Okay. And then what would be classified as not corrective exercise? What is some stuff that's not corrective exercise?
Well, like I said, I mean, you know, in my view, really anything and everything could be corrective depending on the thought process and the rationale you have behind it. Obviously getting people grooved with basic motor patterns and fixing a hip shift and fixing pelvic rotation and stuff like that is going to be, you know, as corrective as you get if you look at the whole spectrum. And to me, you know, getting past that point, if you look like Stuart McGill stuff, you know, he has this whole progression. You groove these patterns, fix the instability where it is, and you go from corrective to into more of the strength stuff, and you finish with the power and the speed stuff towards the end. And I think it's kind of that's really a good model to look at, because once you're able to get these things cleaned up, and you're going high performance sporting activity again, I think that's probably as far away from the general corrective stuff you're going to get. But again, you know, anything can be corrective, really, in my mind, depending on how you look at it. Once you get back to that, the high intensity performance level type work is going to be the ultimate goal. And you know, no matter how you look at it, also, I mean, everybody's always going to have something they can work on. I mean, nobody's ever going to be perfectly symmetrical, which you know, in most sports you don't want to be, and no one's ever going to be, you know, moving perfectly everywhere and being completely pain-free all the time. I mean, there's always going to be something that's going to come about if you're training hard that you can work on. And when you get, you know, to a certain strength level with something, you're going to want to work on something else. And you can always get better. So I think there's always room to have corrective modalities within a program. And you have to constantly analyze and say, you know, what do I need to do now to continue to improve? So I think it really depends on how you look at it.
Okay. And so we were chatting before the call, and you're opening up a gym real soon. Maybe you can kind of chat about that. That's kind of exciting, and a lot of people, a lot of coaches and trainers, is kind of their dream opening up a gym. Maybe you can talk
about that. Yeah, it's actually my dream too, so I am completely pumped up about it. Basically, I'm opening up my own facility out here in the Milwaukee area, the Greenfield suburbs of Milwaukee. I'm going to have strength and conditioning there. We'll have all varieties of athletes, fat loss, pain syndromes, everything. We'll have some treatment area for soft tissue work. It's going to be I want it to be the premier place for people that are serious about getting better, whether that's with a sport or getting out of pain or just getting in shape. I want it to be the premier place in Milwaukee for people to come to if they're serious about their training and want to learn how to get better and want to, you know, work hard to reach their goals. I also do a lot of work with a real good mixer style chiropractor around here. My partner, Teresa Miller, she's very good as well. And we're kind of going to do some stuff together with our businesses as well. We actually have a background business called Moxie Performance and Therapeutics, where we basically kind of network together and provide services back and forth. So, you know, if someone needs movement or performance training, she'll send them to me when she does her thing. And if I have someone who needs some kind of joint manipulation or spinal adjustment that I can't do, I send them her way, and we complement each other very well. So we're kind of going to have a full scale of services in one spot. It's going to be pretty awesome. So I'm pretty pumped about it. It's been a long time coming. I've been working on it last year or so here, and pretty excited to get in there and get things rolling.
What's your number one tip that you've learned so far for someone that wants to start up their own facility?
Don't expect everything to go completely smoothly, because it will not. So make sure you have a full set plan in place, and make sure you have planned and budgeted for every foreseeable thing that could happen, because we were working on a deal with one place that kind of fell through, and I was lucky enough to find this place through a client of mine, and luckily it worked out. So just make sure you have a plan in place, because there's really a lot more that goes into things than you would think, and nothing's ever going to work out exactly the way you plan. So I would definitely say that. Don't just go into it blind. Make sure you plan for different things to happen.
Okay. And so we're reaching the end of the call. Do you have any other, you know, last-minute tips for people or things that you want to leave with people when it comes to, you know, corrective exercise and, mm-hmm. you know, maybe, you know, starting their own facility?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say, you know, if you haven't had a good assessment by even if you know this stuff, you have not gotten a good assessment from someone who knows how to analyze you the right way, definitely do it, because, like I said, man, this stuff is so important. It's going to take your performance to the next level. It's going to help you stay healthy and do what you want to do for a much longer period of time. So definitely find someone who can help you out. You know, a lot of good material out there to learn from as well. You know, Rick's got plenty of stuff on his site, as you've probably seen. And definitely make sure you make the time to do this stuff. Make the time to go get a massage treatment. Make the time to get some ART. Take the time to do your extra, you know, warm up. Throw your mobility in your warm up. Do your low trap work. Do your glute work. Do everything you need to do to make yourself better. Because, you know, I learned firsthand. If you don't, man, sometimes injuries will happen whether you expect them to or not. And if you can prevent it from the first place, you might as well. So take the time to do it. Learn about it. Find someone who can help you if you haven't already. And as far as the facility, like I said, man, you just want to make sure you plan for everything and make sure you have. Also say make sure you have a clear vision of what you want to do with it, because you want to be able to pinpoint who you want in the place. You want to be able to pinpoint, you're going to get questions from people about, you know, well, is this an open gym? Who can come in here? Who can't come in here? You know, can I be an independent contractor at your place? And the list goes on. Just make sure you know exactly how you want it to be and who you want to work with within it.
Okay. And where can people get more information about you, Nick?
Yep, you can find me on my website at rosencutterultrafitness.com. You can also find me and Teresa's website at, it'll be up soon, called moxieperform.com. So it'll be a lot of combined information on multiple techniques and services there. If you want to see kind of how we combine the performance and training side of things along with more of the therapeutic rehab chiropractic side of things, it's really pretty cool. So she has some good information and videos up on there. I know me and her got some plans to make some DVDs and do some seminars and stuff here in the near future too. So look out for that. So definitely check out both of those sites when you get a chance. And you know, feel free to contact me if you have questions or if you're around the Milwaukee area and you want an awesome place to train, look me up because we'll let you in.
Awesome. So thank you very much for your time, Nick.
Yeah, no problem, man. Thanks for having me.
And thank you very much, ExercisesForInjuries.com listeners. I hope you enjoyed the interview and kind of the importance of, you know, integrating corrective exercise into your program and your client's program. I know from my personal experience, you know, after I left my 20s and as I entered into my 30s, you know, my mind might be in my 20s, but my body's in my 30s, and I need to kind of take care of it more. And integrating some of the corrective exercise side of things to make sure that, you know, I'm balanced, I got good joint stability, I've got good movement, you know, I'm fending off injuries, I don't have muscle imbalances, has definitely ended up helping me continue doing the things I enjoy and stay out of pain and avoid injury. So this is Rick Cassells from ExercisesForInjuries.com thanking you for listening to the interview, and we will talk to you very soon. And I'll have another interview for you very soon, and we will see you on the blog. So this is Rick Cassells saying take care and bye-bye.